Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the HMEB podcast. I'm your host, David Cuff, the executive editor of HME Business, your source for news, trends, and insights into the home medical equipment industry. Standard power mobility is a corner of the HME industry that's seen a considerable amount of change over the past several years, both in terms of regulatory and funding aspects, as well as the overall healthcare marketplace in general. And many of those providers have been coming up with a lot of creative solutions and business models to help them roll with those changes and not only survive those changes, but actually thrive despite them. One of those providers is Wayne Slavitt. He's the founder and CEO of Mobile, the mobility store in Long Beach, California. And I'm here talking to Wayne about some of those creative solutions that he's put into place in his business. Wayne, how are you doing?
Fine, Dave. Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it is my pleasure. Trust me. As many of the readers might know, Wayne's a frequent contributor of both the print and online editions of HME Business Magazine. And Wayne also sits on our editorial advisory board. So, Wayne, I always appreciate your support, and I'm glad that you're here to do this interview. Let's get started, because Mobile is a pretty darn unique mobility business in that you guys are retail only, and you took the plunge a lot earlier than a lot of other retail only providers did. I think that when you and I first met, you were one of the few, the proud, and really started blazing some trails. Wayne, how'd you get started? What was the inspiration?
Sure, Dave. The inspiration was simple. It was a personal need.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and mother-in-law were both alive at the time, and this was 7 years ago, back to 2012. I had to go shop for them for home medical equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And being very new, I had no experience in the industry. I popped into a couple of local stores.
Uh-huh.
And with each trip, I was more and more depressed. To call them retailers was very, very generous. And I actually coined the phrase apologetic retailing, because my experience in going into a typical home medical equipment store was that they were as far from retail as possible. The staff was disengaged, the store was small, the product was poorly laid out. Many cases, the product was dusty and dirty, and the most important thing is it was not welcoming. The environment was not welcoming.
And that's a tough point to hear for some providers, I might wager. But at the same time, I think that might be a fair point, because I think culturally, when the lion's share of the funding, the lion's share of the revenues for providers was coming from a funded context, the notion of selling stuff on a retail basis was maybe kind of seemed not legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Or just unfamiliar territory.
Well, if you were to ask a typical home medical equipment store that accepts insurance,
mm-hmm.
who their customer is, who is your customer? They would tell you Medicare or Medicaid or any of the other Medis. They wouldn't tell you it's Mrs. Johnson coming in to get a wheelchair. So when your payer is someone other than the user, the relationship is different than it is typically in a retail environment where cash is the method of payment.
Mm-hmm.
So I will give you an example. I walked into a local pharmacy that has a home medical equipment component, or had at the time. They're since out of business. And I was shopping for a lift chair. This was before I decided to launch Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into the store. They had 5 lift chairs on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The salesperson, if you want to call her that, who greeted me was wearing medical scrubs.
Uh-huh.
Not the most user-friendly type portrayal of a helper did she give me. I thought I was going in there for medical procedures.
Yeah, I was going to say, it almost feels like you're going to get an exam.
Yeah, and I sort of puckered up. I was worried what might happen. I asked her 3 very simple questions about lift chairs, since I didn't know much about them. When I got to the 4th question, which also in my mind was a very simple question, she reaches over to a display, grabs a brochure, hands it to me, and says, "Listen, mister, why don't you go home and read this brochure? I don't know much about this product."
Wow.
That was one of my many aha moments, because what she was telling me was that the most expensive item in that store, The highest grossing margin item in her store was one she knew little about.
And I was going to, and I'm going to dive in here because for listeners, I'm here at Wayne's retail location, and on Bellflower Boulevard and Bellflower Boulevard or Avenue?
No, it's Boulevard.
Boulevard in Long Beach. Wayne's got approximately 25, 30 lift chairs out here. And if I recall correctly, they're the lion's share of your revenue. Am I right?
They're the biggest contributor to our revenues, yes.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And our staff is very, very, very well trained on how to present a lift chair, on the features of the lift chair, on the various options, the various colors, and how to make sure that the customer's questions are answered. We spend as much time as the customer wants to, and it's the opposite of what my experience was with that competitor.
Right. So you have this experience, and you're like, oh, hold on a second. There's a red flag here, because you're an experienced businessman from other marketplaces, and so you see this glaring red flag, and is this what plants the seed?
It says to me there's an opportunity, and I had been throughout my career. I have started over 10 companies. I have tried to pay attention to market shifts, and I knew that the aging market, I knew was going to be a big market. We're all familiar with the statistics that every day for the next X number of years, right now it's 11 to 12 years, 10,000 new people turn 65. And the demographic shift is the biggest one we'll experience in our lifetime. So I was drawn to the senior market somehow. And I have a real estate background, so I was drawn to potentially doing something in senior housing. But I decided not to. And this opportunity, which was born out of a need for my mother and mother-in-law, became one that I wanted to study more. So I went online and I started researching the industry. And I read articles in HME Business, and I read articles in Home Care Magazine. I read articles in all the other publications, and
But the best ones were in HME Business.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. But a name kept coming up. I kept reading the name of Jack Evans.
Okay.
And Jack Evans was quoted in article after article after article, someone who had been involved with 150 to 200 HME stores in North America. So I got a hold of him. He lives in Malibu, which is about an hour and a half from Long Beach, 3 hours on a bad day. And I made an appointment to go visit him. And I told him what my concept was, to build a 100% cash-only retail HME chain of stores. Because part of my research also showed that there's no market leader. There is no dominant player in this industry. So I realized it was an opportunity to potentially consolidate the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Jack thought the concept was brilliant. And he said, if you can pull it off, you'll own the market. So we met on a very regular basis and designed the ideal store. I found a great location, and Jack has been a great friend ever since.
There you go.
It's been recommended to me to open up in a higher income area like Beverly Hills or potentially Newport Beach, Newport Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to be in Long Beach for a couple of reasons. One, I had spent too many years in my career driving long distances to work at companies I'd started or been involved with. I live in Long Beach.
Oh, okay.
And I have a very long 9-minute commute from my house to the store here.
Sounds rough, Wayne. Plus, and just for listeners out there who might be in other spots in the country, the notion of a 9-minute commute in Southern California is essentially the stuff of unicorns.
It is. It's very, very rare. We always joke in Los Angeles, the LA area, that everything is 20 minutes away from each other. And that's not even
meaning true. 60 minutes.
It's not even true at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
I have been in rush hour traffic at 2 o'clock in the morning in the West LA. But I wanted it. I wanted also not just the location to be something that was close to where I lived. I wanted it to be more of a representation of an overall population. And Long Beach has that. Long Beach has some $15 million homes, and we have gang-ridden areas, and we have a lot of stuff in between. So we opened up the store. You had asked about lessons learned.
Uh-huh.
A lot.
I would imagine.
We learned in the process that we're not really selling to seniors. We're selling to their children.
Okay.
And that took a little bit of time to learn, and it was through observation. And it's typically we're selling to a female child aged 45 to 60. That's the typical demographic, shopping on behalf of mom and dad.
Oh, interesting.
And that's typically a ratio of 4 to 1.
Okay.
And so that allowed us to to sort of titrate that formula of marketing to sort of get a little tighter in how we're going to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
And we've experimented from a marketing standpoint on almost every channel in the marketplace. We had cable TV ads for a while, which me being the ego that I am, loved getting up in front of a camera and, and making funny commercials. Until my friends kept calling me and saying, I'm tired of watching you on ESPN or CNN. Stop doing those dumb commercials. we've done print. We've done direct marketing. The one that we've honed in on finally is digital marketing. And the bulk of our advertising marketing dollars are now devoted to digital marketing.
Interesting. And let's dig a little deeper on that. Why? Is it because it allows you a very specific reach?
That's one of the benefits, but we're also trying to cater to the mode of search that our customers are using.
Oh.
So when we're dealing with the demographic and age of 45 to 60, it's a very sophisticated consumer that's on their phones primarily a lot searching for things.
So, yes.
So they're Googling to try to find who sells that wheelchair I'm looking for. And we are very diligent about reviewing Google AdWords. We have a monthly phone call with someone at Google where we're discussing our ad buys and we're talking to them about their latest algorithms, and we're able to fine-tune so that we're able to attract the right person. That being said, we still get phone calls from our competitors who think they're calling the competitors and they're calling us because of things that we're able to do to attract them. But that has become a pretty valuable way for us to attract that customer.
I'm fascinated. And you mentioned smartphones. Obviously, a big part of online marketing jargon in the realm of smartphones and online advertising is micro-moments. Mm. And catering to these people who are doing a quick Google search and they want that,
right,
they want that answer then. Are you trying to capitalize on that?
We do that. So we work with Google on a customer being able to send us a text message with a question.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes right to my email, and I respond right to that.
Wow.
We also utilize live chat.
Okay.
Which is just a wonderful service. It's inexpensive as hell. And it lets us have an engagement with customers very quickly. So they can ask us questions, where you're located, even though it's right on the website. But we can answer that simple question to, do you have this particular product?
Uh-huh.
Or here's my problem, what do you recommend? And that's an immediate type of engagement that we're able to have.
Sound like you were having a customer engagement.
That's right. That's right. We want that phone. Because, you know, the bottom line, the goal of our marketing is very, very simple. We don't sell online.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a fault of ours. Maybe we should. But because we have spent so much money building the store, we want our marketing to drive traffic to our store.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to come in because we're very convinced that once you come in here, you're going to be a customer of ours.
Well, and we're talking about items. I mean, there are items out there that lend themselves to online retail.
Yes,
there are online,
absolutely.
I mean, you know, orthopedic options, some bath safety options. There's all sorts of stuff.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, when we're talking about some of your real revenue drivers, like the lift chairs or the rollators or the scooters,
mm-hmm.
That's a different story. You want people to be hands-on, I would imagine.
It's hard to make a decision. And listen, there are online retailers like SpinLife that sell a lot of lift chairs online.
Mm-hmm.
We believe, though, that it's like a pair of shoes. Now, even though Zappos sells a lot of shoes online, they also have the cost that the consumer bears of free shipping both ways. And a lot of shoes go back to Zappos that don't fit properly. When we sit a customer into a lift chair, we are able to get immediate feedback as to whether that lift chair fits them properly. And you and I could both be 6 foot tall. And if I am more torso and you're more leg, we're going to fit in a lift chair differently. And I can't, it's hard for me to try to figure that out online.
Oh yeah.
But it's much easier to do it in person. And I'm able to then do that. But here's the real interesting thing that's so counterintuitive these days. There is a general understanding by almost the entire market that if it's being sold online, it's got to be cheaper than what I could buy it for in a brick and mortar retail. Amazon created that whole concept. It's got to be cheaper on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
Well, when it comes to lift chairs and scooters, in our market area, in our 25-mile radius of market area, we include free shipping. We're less money than SpinLife. We're less money than other retailers. And why are we? Because of our high level of service. So how does that translate into pricing? If you were to buy, for example, a Golden Cloud, a 510 medium-large in fabric, and you put that into your shopping cart on SpinLife, and then you add two things that we include for free. One is white glove delivery. White glove delivery online is going to cost you about $350. And by the way, will take several weeks to arrange because that online retailer has to contract with a third-party company to do white glove delivery.
Hmm.
So we include white glove delivery for free, which means we're not only going to bring your lift chair inside your house as opposed to leaving it on your porch, we're going to set it up. We're going to go over the instructions with you. We're going to take care of filing the warranty. That's white glove delivery.
Okay.
We don't charge extra for that in our market area. That's included in our price.
But an online retailer probably will.
They not only probably will, they definitely will.
Okay.
Otherwise, your lift chair is left on your driveway. Mm-hmm. And you got to try to find a way to get a 150-pound lift chair inside your house and set up. The second thing that we include for free is Golden offers a free in-home warranty for labor included in the price. We give an additional 2 years of free in-home labor onto the warranty. We don't charge for that. SpinLife, I believe, charges $169 for that.
Mm.
So when you take those two additional items into your shopping cart online, you're going to be more expensive than our price.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, it's funny. It reminds me of like, you know, I think the way that Amazon, I think the two words adequately describe Amazon's success: free delivery.
Yes.
And if you're on Amazon Prime, you know, that's the whole justification.
Yes. However, free delivery on Amazon for a lift chair does not include white glove.
Yeah, exactly. So yes. I was going to say, so what you guys have done is you've turned this concept on its head and said, no, we're going to offer the thing that's the real value.
Exactly. It's almost like buying a car but it doesn't include the engine.
Yeah.
So if someone's going to buy a lift chair, do they have really the means to get that chair inside their house?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they don't. It's like we sell grab bars. So we don't install the grab bars, but we have approved installers that we have vetted that will install the grab bars for you, and you can contract with them. In other words, we try to close that loop so that you're not just buying a product and then you have to go figure out how you're going to get it included in the house. So getting back to this whole lift chair scooter situation, when you buy those from mobile here, we are breaking that belief that the internet is cheaper. In fact, our price is less expensive. And we have a sell sheet that we put on our chairs that actually walks the consumer through that, because as we know, most people do believe that it's got to be cheaper to buy it online.
Getting back to online marketing, I'm curious, is that way that you differentiate through this, you know, free service and the warranty, the white glove service and the extended warranty, is that one of the ways that you differentiate your business online? I'm curious how you stand out from the crowd.
Well, it's a good question. And since we don't sell online, we don't have that many direct points of differentiation.
Yeah.
Had we chosen to sell online, that would be a different situation.
Yeah.
We have not yet chosen. I think it's an opportunity we would explore down the road.
Uh-huh.
But for now, we are so pompous, I guess, if you will, that our store is so pretty that we want to get you in here. And once you're in here, you're going to say to yourself, why would I ever go anywhere else? Because it's not just a physical look of the store. It's not just the large inventory that we have. It's not just the fact that we're open 7 days a week. But I will match up my staff to any other company staff in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Our staff, some of my staff came to me with experience in the industry.
I was going
to
say, you've got some really experienced players.
But some people have had no experience in the industry, and it's taken us a little bit longer to get them up to speed on the product. But the one thing they have that most of our competitors don't have is a great attitude, is a caring heart, is compassionate. One of my salespeople, Deborah Benson, who's been with me since day one, she was with a competitor. And when I interviewed her, I was convinced I was going to hire her. I asked her one final question after I'd made the decision. And I said to her, Deborah, I'm kind of curious. What do you like to do on your days off? And she said to me, on my days off, I visit my customers to make sure that the products that they bought from me are being used properly and that they're happy.
That's some solid commitment.
I said to Deborah, I said, I'm not going to require you to do that at all, but you're hired because I can't teach someone to be compassionate. I can teach someone how to sell a lift chair.
Yeah.
But I can't teach you to be kind and considerate and nice. And that is probably the biggest thing that we do. And if you look at our Yelp ratings, we got an award last year from Yelp for having nearly all 5-star ratings.
No kidding.
And it's because we demonstrate that care and compassion. And there's a saying that we have in the store, and it's not my saying, I stole it from someone. And it's that, you know, think about someone coming into our store who doesn't know much about the products. They expect us to be experts. But here's a saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when we show care and compassion, when the customer knows that the next thing we're going to say to them is because we care about their situation, because your problem is our problem, and your need is our need, so I'm going to recommend to you the very best solution. When a customer has that connection with us, there's a bond, and they now know that they've got someone they can trust. And when you think about your retail experiences that you've had, how often could you really trust that salesperson?
Yeah.
It's more rare than not. So we try to establish trust here. And when that's developed, it's like glue.
And you want to know what? I'm going to take this conversation full circle, because let's get back to your original DME buying experience, where you were going to an HME provider that was funded.
Yes.
That I'm sure felt was providing excellent, caring, compassionate customer service in a funded context, but in a retail context, couldn't get out of their own way, and was in fact the antithesis of caring by handing you a brochure
and say, go home and read this.
Mister. Yeah, it's basically just get the hell
get
out of here. Yeah. So I think that's proof to anybody who still might think, which is, to my mind, getting to be kind of an antiquated frame of mind, but it's proof to anybody who might think that retail isn't a service-oriented context for HME, that it is quite, in fact, a
service.
It's
important, yeah. And I'll share with you something else we've learned over the years. And I was in the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Program, and in the marketing module, the one thing that I learned that has been invaluable here is focus less on what you're selling and focus more on what your customer is buying.
Mm-hmm.
We discovered that to be two different things. When we think about what we're selling here, it's so easy to think we sell products, that's what we're selling. A customer comes into our store not thinking about a product. They want a solution.
Yeah.
And they're coming in with a problem. My dad keeps falling out of bed. My mom is wetting the bed.
Mm.
There's a problem. And they're coming in here. They don't know most of the products that we sell. They have no context from which to reference.
Yeah.
So we stopped focusing on trying to fit a round peg into a square hole by shoving a product down their throat, and instead listening very carefully, what is their pain point? What is their problem? What solution are we trying to find? Sometimes it's not a product. Most of the time it is. But you know, sometimes it's a woman who comes in here who is so distraught that her husband has Alzheimer's.
Oh, yeah.
And doesn't know where to go. And we write down the phone number of the local chapter of the Alzheimer's Association. And that woman contacts them and she finds friends. We didn't make any money on that contact, but we made a lifelong friend.
Yeah, sure.
And so when we started refocusing our attention away from what we think we're selling to instead what the perspective is of the customer, the lights went on. And that informed us not just how we relate to customers in person, it also helped inform us on the kind of keywords that we're buying and how we're spending our marketing dollars online. Because it's very easy to think that, well, let's just buy keywords, for example, of home medical equipment or wheelchairs that are light. Well, guess what? People that don't have any knowledge of it are not focusing on that. They're focusing on what kind of store would I go to get that? And how would I describe that store?
Uh-huh.
And so it really has helped us sort of reorient how we approach the marketplace.
Man, that is fascinating stuff. It's interesting how there's this constant nexus between service and relationship building and success.
Yes.
The two are so intertwined.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. But you think about if you were to look back at your very best retail experience you ever had, you might not be able to tell me what you bought, but I bet you'll tell me about the salesperson.
Right. And the experience.
And the experience and how it was so different from what you had expected or from what you had experienced in the past with other people that it stood out. And that made you want to go back and buy something from that person because the person made your experience so wonderful.
Awesome. Well, Wayne, thank you very much for this interview. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Happy to do it. It was really enjoyable. I could talk about mobile all day long.
Well, Wayne, thanks again.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks again to Wayne. He's one of my favorite people in the industry to talk to because of his inventiveness, knowledge, enthusiasm, and outgoing attitude. That'll close things up for episode 20. Don't forget to rate and review the HME Business Podcast. And please, if you haven't already, make sure to click the subscribe button so that you get every new episode. Remember, you keep listening and we'll keep posting. And if you want to stay on top of everything that's going on in the industry, make sure to go to hme-business.com and subscribe to eSource, our weekly e-newsletter. And if you haven't done so, make sure to subscribe to the print magazine there as well. Again, that's hme-business.com. To follow us on social media, hit us up at HME Business on both Facebook and Twitter, and I'm at Postacute News on Twitter, and of course you can find me on LinkedIn as well. Lastly, if you have any feedback, suggestions, or requests, don't be afraid to reach out to me via Twitter. Again, that's at Postacute News, or you can email me at DKO, P as in Paul, F as in Franklin, at 1105media.com. And with that, I think we'll wrap things up. Thank you all very much for listening, and goodbye until the next HME Business Podcast.